Senator Bert Johnson. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing awfully well. What a busy day up at the Capitol today. The Michigan Senate sends the final bills up to Governor Snyder. This is happening in record time. What are your thoughts today?
Well, you know, as a Democrat, I am neither, and neither are my colleagues. We're neither happy nor pleased with how this process has taken place. And while a number of Republicans on the Hill are slapping each other on the back and, you know, they're talking about getting these things done in record time and in very quick fashion, it just doesn't bode well what has been done. And I'm just going to say to the citizens of the state of Michigan.
Well, and in the record time, was it all too fast for you? Or if it wasn't speed, it was just the issues at hand and how they were handled?
A little bit of both. And I agree that the gridlock that we saw over the last few years here in Michigan is neither good nor productive for the citizens or the state as a whole. But, you know, you get that when you have one chamber controlling and the other side of the aisle controlling another chamber. So you get that partisan politics, if you will. But moving something this fast just for the sake of saying that we need to get it done, you know, by an arbitrary deadline is not good either. And when you consider some of the policies or the practices that have been put in place, you know, the citizens, I think, are going to suffer immeasurably, and that's just not a good message, at least from the Democratic side of the aisle.
One of the signature issues you have concentrated on, Senator Johnson, has been education.
Right.
I'm not even going to guess your thoughts on the cuts for K through 12 education.
I just think that the cuts to K through 12 are disingenuous at best. And I just don't know how, as policymakers and even as a governor, that you tout on one hand the conversation that says we have to invest, we have to prepare our children for globalized education, and they're competing with children in China and Japan. And then on the other hand, you say, but we're going to cut money out of the K through 12 budget that directly supports them. And I'll tell you, I was fortunate enough to be joined today by my son on the floor, who is in the seventh grade at one of the Detroit public schools. And he asked me what the bill that we were voting on did. I told him, and he said, well, why would they want to cut money out of education? It's oxymoronic in a state that needs to be wholly investing in students and the enterprises that support them to say that we're going to take money and balance other parts of our budget with it.
Well, and I've had several discussions with various politicians on this show, sir, and who talk about the school aid fund. Yesterday, I had Senator Rick Jones on, who's a Republican, who said, "Man, I didn't like that. I don't like taking money out of the school aid fund that we didn't need to do."
Well, you know, it's one thing for the good senator to say what he doesn't like. It's a completely different thing to demonstrate it through his votes. There's sort of this going around and lancing this, I was against it before I voted for it mentality when it comes to the Republicans. And what I mean is that in certain instances where we've had amendments that would restore funding or would give perhaps some relaxed pain to some of these budgets, you've seen some of the Republicans support them. However, when it came to the full bill as being presented to the governor, it had their support. It had their full support. So it's one thing to talk about it, and it's another thing to vote on it and demonstrate to the people where your real priorities are. And I think there's a lot of double talk, if you will, on the Republican side of the aisle. And I and the people that I represent, we don't appreciate it.
Were there some Republicans that did cross over?
There were a few who did, and they are in traditionally marginal districts. And what that means is that there are a number of people on both the Democrat and Republican side of the aisle in those districts who, you know, it might be a 50-50 district on both sides. And you need to make sure, as a marginal, that you pay attention to both sides of the discussion. So you had some Republicans to cross over and vote with us. Thank God for those folks, in my estimation. But not enough to defeat the bills.
Well, and the governor has talked about education reform as well. This is not the kind of reform you were looking for.
Not at all. Not at all. When you look at the governor's emergency manager legislation that is going to get a lot of attention over the coming months, in particular because of some lawsuits that are going to be filed to do away with it, claiming it being unconstitutional, I think you'll understand my major fears when it comes to some of these school districts, that now you're cutting the K through 12 money, and they're going to be falling on the most dire financial straits, And, you know, a lot of them are already at that tipping point. Take a few more dollars away from them, and you push them right into insolvency. And I get worried that you're going to see many more emergency managers in the mix than need to be. And you've created a new conundrum for the state of Michigan and education as a whole.
Well, and the emergency financial managers, of course, have been the topic of an awful lot of discussion. And I do ask when I talk to folks about EFMs, is there a way they can be helpful early on in a situation with a school district, if that's the topic we're using now?
There is a way. And, you know, I've had this conversation, or at least I've tried to have it with folks in the past. I have two cities, Highland Park and Hamtramck, that have both at some point existed under what we knew as the Emergency Financial Management Law. Both of those cities experienced people who came in, were able to clean up the mess, worked very well with Lansing and the Treasurer's Office and the Emergency Loan Board, and fixed their insolvency issue. While I agree that there were some tweaks that we needed to make to the Emergency Financial Management Law, I'm against a number of the things that were contrived and then became a part of this new Emergency Manager's Law. And I just don't think that it sends us in the right direction. There is the semblance of needing to do something on the front end so that you keep people out of, or keep districts and municipalities out of that situation. You could do that as a matter of policy internally in the Treasurer's Office. He has wide-ranging latitude to, if you will, stick his nose under the curtain and make sure things go right. But the law that was put in place, I think, goes far beyond what is necessary to actually fix one of these situation.
What about the best financial practices that Governor Rick Snyder has said will get some money back to per pupil? And there's some discussion even on whether that will actually happen or not. Was that any kind of a coming together and trying to fix some of this or not in your estimation?
It sounds good to hear it. It looks good on paper. But when you get down to the brass tacks of consolidations and cooperations between municipalities or school districts in this case, I think what you're really talking about is how well can any of these districts really have a discussion about what they can do together, and is that even happening? Are there fears, say, with the Ferndale School District working with the Detroit Public School District? Is it even possible? And so while the governor may be preaching the right thing from a practical standpoint, I don't think his emergency management legislation nor these cuts that K-12 has experienced and his incentives, if you will, I don't think it fosters enough of that cooperation. And unless he's going to actually come down out the Capitol and go spend time in between these districts and really try to organize a discussion, I'm afraid that it's going to fall on deaf ears and you're not going to see a whole lot of discussion until there's true leadership at the table putting them all in the same room.
Is there anything, Senator Johnson, that you like in the two bills that are, or the two budgets that are going back to the governor at this point?
I think the fact that we were able as Democrats to kind of rally cry and get a few amendments on that maybe lessened the amount of cut that K-12 got, or in some instances we were able to at least put a placeholder in to save great programs in the city of Detroit like Focus Hope. In those instances, you know, we can call those minor victories, you know, minor battle victories. But there's nothing that when I go home, when I drive down I-96, that when I get back to the people that I represent, be it in the Point or in Highland Park, that I can say I am genuinely proud of that we've done here in the state capitol and how I think it relates to them having a much better lifestyle or quality of life. And so, you know, I guess that's a long way of saying not really.
Well, it's a very eloquent way of saying not really.
And I appreciate it. I was really hoping that, you know, in spite of the fact that Republicans swept the state government, that we were going to be able to work together to find viable, you know, practical answers to the problems that we face, and that we'd be able to do it with the time frame that we had been given in each year. You know, none of us wants to run beyond September 30th and breach the October 1st deadline date. But, you know, running out of the gate this fast and pushing this envelope this fast, I think ultimately will hurt the citizens across this state, not the least of which are our seniors, the working poor, people who have fallen out of the middle class, and especially when it comes to K-12, our students.
Well, and these cuts, as we know, are going to be painful for most of us in the state of Michigan. I talked with former Governor James Blanchard on this show yesterday, sir, and he basically put forth the sentiment that Governor Snyder is making difficult decisions early on in hopes that they pay off later. Does that ring true for you at all, or do you see any of that?
It rings true. I think the operative word is hope. But I think the interesting thing to note about where we are at this particular period in 2011 is that the revenue estimates have come back higher. Mm-hmm. People are spending more money. I think it was Governor Jennifer Granholm who said Michigan would be first into the recession and therefore first out. We have dug in hard and deep over the last 5 to 8 years. We cut about $4 billion in government. We found ways to derive real efficiencies. We did some smart consolidation of departments. We really rolled up our sleeves to try to make a difference in what the government would look like going forward. And while I appreciate, you know, both the newness and the in this governor's mind, his innovative approach to trying to do it quick and smart, I think he's missed the mark when it comes to how it affects people. And so I don't know anywhere on the planet that you can say, I'm going to take money away from one realm and then force it on top of others, that it's not hurting the people that you're putting on top of. Democrats are not against providing modest tax breaks to businesses that thrive in this community and hire people out of our communities, but we are against making it more regressive, you know, for people who are paying the bills. That's our seniors, and that's our children who are simply trying to go to school. And we've got to be more creative than that. And so, you know, I understand what the governor's trying to do. I just think that if he would have included Democrats early enough, that he could have come up with some more practical solutions for the problems that Michigan still faces.
Well, sir, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your time this evening. I haven't had the opportunity to speak with you on this show before, but I look forward to the next time we have an opportunity to talk.
I absolutely thank you for the opportunity. Have a great one.